I think all committees will convey our condolences to him. Thank you very much.
Agreed, Comrade Junior. So are we second now? I'll come to that, yeah. Just one second to settle it down, because I can you please settle it down now? I don't want this up and down in the meeting. Please. I hope we are settled down, and this full bench was also good to all of us, that we must go and get something, to grab something, that we should get a tick there. But honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is a joint sitting of a Standing Committee on Appropriation, Standing Committee on Finance, Select Committee on Finance, Select Committee on Appropriations. Hence, in front of, in the front seat, on my extreme left, displays his political leaning, is Honorable Joma Sangai, Chair of the Standing Committee on Finance. I'm Sifiso Buthelezi, Chair of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, and on my right, it's Honorable Yunus Karim, extreme right, chair, select committee on appropriations, Honorable Tikereti Masango, obviously, Honorable Yunus Karim is the chair of the Select Committee on Finance. So we decided that let's have a joint sitting, because the matter that we are dealing with today is a matter that affects all of us equally. But before we then proceed, there's an agenda which is going to guide us in front of us. I've just dealt with agenda item number one. Then the apologies. I would ask Honorable Joe to deal with the apologies from his committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies that we got. Honorable E. Lewis will not make it to the meeting. Honorable Vessels also will not make it to the meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you from Standing Committee on Appropriations. It's Honorable Kaiso. He had flight problems. He'll be joining us in due course.
Chair. Two more.
Okay.
Honorable Ntlangwini and Honorable Kwankwa. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair Karim has already presented the apology for Honorable Ryder due to bereavement. We also have Honorable Mkiva who will be arriving shortly due to flight delay.
Thank you. Just to reiterate what Honorable Karim said, can Honorable Ryder receive our heartfelt condolences that should be conveyed to him. This takes us to the main agenda item today, that is discussion of nomination of director to Parliamentary Budget Office. Honorable members, I'll just read a letter which directs this meeting to sit, which was received from the Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Mudise, and the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Honorable Masondo. It was directed to Mr. Frolic, who is the House Chairperson of the National Assembly, and Honorable Nyambi, who is the House Chairperson, National Council of Provinces. And then this letter was directed to us as chairpersons of the different committees that are meeting today. So I will read the letter for your benefit to give you the background to this meeting. It's dated 10 September 2019. Subject, appointment of Director of Parliamentary Budget Office. Number one, Section 15 of the Money Bills and Related Matters Act, the Act 2009, as amended, state that the respective houses, on a recommendation of the Standing Committee on Finance and Appropriations, in both House, the committees, must appoint a person as the Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office. The position of the Director is currently vacant, and Parliament must therefore appoint a candidate in a manner prescribed in the Act. Two, it is therefore necessary for the relevant committees to undertake a process to nominate a candidate with due agency and require that your offices ensure that this process is undertaken and given a priority. Signed by Honorable Speaker of the National Assembly, Ms. T. R. Modise, and Honorable Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Honorable A.N. Masondo. So this explains why we are here today. Now, as you see that the letter came on the 10th of September, and after that there was about three weeks break when we're not here. So this is the first available time that we could congregate and deal with this matter. Honourable members, I think the main objective today will be to deal with the process. So if some of us came now and say they're having the name of Eunice Karim as a candidate for this, is not the day for that today. We won't be discussing the names, we are only discussing the process as to how we are going to handle this. In preparation of this meeting, we then requested Advocate Jenkins to just outline the process for the honourable members, and then we'll take the discussion from there. Jenkins?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and other chairs, members, colleagues. Good morning. Chair, following that letter, what kicks in, what's the regulatory framework is then Section 15 of the Money Bills and Related Matters Act. And in 15.5, we see that there's where it starts, where the four committees must nominate a fit and proper person. So that's the first issue, which will probably be an area which we will call vetting. So only fit and proper people can then apply for this job. And what is fit and proper has been discussed in various other instruments which we can use to look at. And obviously, it firstly will entail that when it comes to issues of finances, you can't be an unrehabilitated insolvent or have ever been found guilty of dishonesty. That's the first point. Then the Act goes further to say the person must have the requisite experience, so we need to put something in the advert on what is the requisite experience for this position. Must have the requisite qualifications and leadership skills to manage the PBO. So that's the core of the qualifications for this person. The process itself is not spelled out in detail in the Act. All it says that it's the four committees that must use these criteria to find a person to nominate to the Houses, and that nomination process must be done in an open and transparent manner. So I would be safe enough to say if it's an advert in the newspaper for people to apply for this position, and the committees remain open when we're doing the shortlisting as well as the interview process, that is an open and transparent manner which whoever from the public has interest in it can sit and monitor the operations of Parliament. But Chair, that is as much as has been said in the Act. The end result must be a report of the four committees to the respective houses nominating a person. not leaving my reading of the act says we do not leave the discretion to the houses. These four committees must come up with a person. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Advocate Jenkins will, and Ms. Shinaz Abia, am I pronouncing correctly? Please.
Good morning, Khabir. Thank you.
Thank you. Shinaz Habir from Human Resources Division. They've been seconded to us to assist with the process. I think what we need to underline, honourable members, is that this should be a transparent process, an above board process, a process which is going to ensure that we get the best of the best to be responsible for this responsibility of the PBO. Who's from the PBO office? Let me just. I know I didn't prime you on this. This is Dr. Janchis. Are you there? Briefly, just to jog our memories, the responsibilities of PBO.
Good morning, Chair, Co-Chairs, good morning, other members. good morning, colleagues. I think you just threw me a curveball there, Chair. Thank you. The responsibilities of the Parliamentary Budget Office in terms of the Act is to advise, Parliament, these four committees, in terms of money bills that are presented by the Executive in just one line. Of course, it's largely to provide analysis, research on behalf of the committee as part of the strengthening the oversight of the legislature over the executive. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much, Doc. So, with that background, if I may check, is there any clarification that we need from Advocate Jenkins? On clarification, I think it was crystal clear what you said, and that we need to go through an open process. All members, then there is a proposal, and I think I need to carry this proposal. The proposal is that we can't, as this big meeting, decide on that. We need to have the subcommittee representing all of us to deal with this process. And then at all times, we'll want that subcommittee to come and report to the committees. I'm going to share with you what we see that subcommittee doing. But what is critical is that at all times, they will have to come back to the committees and report about progress and what they would have done at different important milestones. So, Honorable Joseph?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the information we received. I just wanted to clarify two things. The one is, if you accept openness and transparency, and at that point I would like to know how many candidates is it the right place to ask how many candidates applied? Is it not the right place?
Okay. Honorable Joseph, you are protected. I'll protect you. I'll answer you.
No, and then I've got another question.
Okay, please.
And then I need more explanation on the vetting, because you use that word vetting, but I want to know that you said that in the process of looking for a fit and proper person and explaining that is vetting. Is vetting going to be done from external sources, or vetting done as part of HR process? Thank you.
Honorable Jones, as I said, that we are protected. The first question, we are not there yet. That's what we are going to explain what's going to happen, right? So as things stand, nobody has applied, nobody. Nobody is being considered as things stand at the moment. That's one. Two, number two.
Can I interrupt you? Then the transparency that I expect to hear is that there's a vacancy, which we know. The post has been advertised. Well, once you make that statement, then I know what happens afterwards. But because I didn't hear that, I assume that is we are halfway through the process, as I understood it.
Okay, no. That's why I say just give me time so that I can explain that. I'll explain that to you. That's the reason why we are meeting here today. So that all these issues that we are raising can be dealt with, right? So we are just starting the process. The only thing which has happened until now is the letter that I shared with the honorable members. Nothing else. That's what has happened, right? So we're just starting the process. Even when it comes to the question of vetting, you'll have that opportunity to say, how do we deal with that? I think we'll discuss that. I think what is important at the moment is that we are saying the person should be fit and proper. And the only way that you can know about that is, means you must do some vetting on an individual individuals who would have applied. So, but as to how and when we are going to do that, I think that's going to be the subject of the discussion at a certain time, right? So, where are we now? I think the main thing we're saying, let's agree that all of us can't deal with that process. Can we agree that we need to have a subcommittee to deal with this matter? Can I have a mover for that? Peter.
Chairperson, I move that we establish the subcommittee.
Seconder? Sarupen?
Chair, I second the proposal.
Thank you. So we agree on the subcommittee. Two, we are going to MTBPS, I think, next week. And you know that after that process, again, all these committees that are meeting here today are going to be very, very busy. So we need to strike a balance that while we are continuing with that process of the MTBPS, again, we are also allowing this process of getting a candidate for PBO as a director going. So it's very important that the number of the subcommittee should be a manageable number again. I wouldn't like to find, at least that's what we assert as chairpersons, that we wouldn't want to find the committee's work being compromised because there's also this work that must be done. So here's the proposal. We tried as much as possible to be scientific with the number. We are proposing that we have got 7 members in that subcommittee. In that 7, 4 from the ANC, 2 from the DA, and 1 from EFF. That gives us 7. That subcommittee, among its first responsibilities, is to go with the help of HR and legal to go and draft the advert based on the responsibilities that the director will be responsible for. So it is to go and draw the advert and the requirements of that position. Once they have done that, they would have to come back before that advert goes out and brief us and say, here is the proposal, here is the advert that we are going to go out with. And then the honorable members will have an opportunity to interact with that advert, delete, add, change, and so on. That advert will only go out once it has been approved by these committees. Then it will go out, and then obviously here we are having individuals applying. So there are no parties which are applying here. It's individuals who are applying for the position. So we'll give this subcommittee responsibility of also shortlisting. We must agree about the number of people who must be shortlisted. When I was interacting with the chairpersons, we said they must shortlist 20 people that they must shortlist to come and bring here and say, out of these 20, we think this is the number of the people that must be interviewed. You can't interview 20 people, right? In my head, I didn't check this one. I think if you shortlist, say, here the top 20 people that are having, we are going to shortlist 10 from that 20 list, and then start interviewing. And they must start interviewing, and then they'll have to present to the full committee or committees a shortlisted list of 3 candidates in order of scoring and preference. I think once they have got 3, they need to vet those 3. They must be vetted so that we don't find ourselves having to agree on a candidate and then only to find out that he or she is not fit and proper to occupy this responsibility, as far as the definition that was given to us by Advocate Jenkins. So they'll give us 3 candidates in order of preference and say, here's our recommendation. Then these committees will have an opportunity then to interact with the recommended list. Or members, that's how we're thinking of the process. But having defined the process to you, would you agree with the number of 7? And as I said, that one tried to be as scientific as possible to say 4 ANC, 2 DA, 1 EFF. Can I hear you, honourable members, in a second or perhaps before we do that, to want to engage with that statement? Honourable Mlenzana, Skosana.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, co-chairs, honourable members, ladies and gentlemen. I suggest, Chair, that we take the advice or proposal from the chairs. 7 will work for us in the same proposed proportion. For ANC to DA and 1 EFF. Thanks, Chair.
Seconder.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Seconded.
Thank you, Susanna. Can we leave with that? Honourable Jones?
Just a point of clarity, Chairperson. I would like to know how many parties is participating. Because it's a recommendation of 3 parties, but how many parties is participating in this multi committee, so that we just also be fair to not to exclude people unnecessarily. Just want clarity on that. And then I wanted to know from the HR, what is there a prescribed calculation one do in terms of candidates? For example, if only 3 candidates apply, what do we then do? Do we then say it's insufficient, you need to up the number and re-advertise, or do you go ahead? Or what if 200 people apply? Is there a kind of preferred calculation one do in terms of for every total number set of 10, you must get a total number? I'm just making an example. If there's any guidance, or doesn't it apply to this position as it may be applied to staff in Parliament? Just want clarity on that, JP. Thank you.
Thank you. Firstly, the proposal of 7 is reasonably consistent with the norms. We have specific quotas in specific instances where Parliament's Rules Committee meets and says. When it comes to committees, subcommittees, it's the committee that has the ultimate decision-making power. So whether we have 7 or 5 or 9 or 13 is our call. There's no rule that applies in this case, firstly. Secondly, from what we can tell, the 3 participating parties are the 3 mentioned. Unfortunately, the smaller parties, they serve on so many committees that they're not active. But nothing stops us, if we so decide, to also expand, if that's the majority decision, in which case then it has to be reasonably proportional to the election results, which means the ANC will get 5, the opposition will end up with 4, something like that. But the third thing to stress is that the subcommittee has got no independent power at all, frankly. It can do nothing The chairperson has gone to the extent I haven't seen before, which is even the advert, which will obviously repeat the words that I hear. You know, quite frankly, it's quite astonishing the extent to which the chairperson is going. All the advert's going to do is repeat the words here and say apply, whoever you are. You know, I mean, South African citizen, presumably. That's all that's going to happen. And he's saying that all their decisions of that subcommittee will be brought here. And finally, as I understood what he said, and what I think is possible, if there is no consensus on the three names, we can ask the subcommittee to give us number 4, 5, and 6. In respect of the number of people that apply, it's extremely unlikely, given the high rate of unemployment of professionals, that we will only end up with 3. Extremely unlikely. In fact, it's more likely, we may get it wrong, it's more likely we can end up with a lot of people that don't qualify. So something that occurs to me, Comrade Chair, that we haven't discussed as chairs. In any case, it doesn't matter whether we discuss it or not. Ultimately, it's your decision. We just propose to you to expedite matters, but it's your decision as committees, as the majority. What we should do is, obviously, in that subcommittee, always have Frank Jenkins present, or somebody else from the legal services unit, if he is not available, but he's the person that dealt most with it. Secondly, somebody from human resources to be there. Although we should recognize that this is not a typical, it's not in fact, that's the amendments we made to the law last time, 18 months ago. The PBO is not a structure of the parliamentary staff, it's actually independent. Finally, if I may say so, Comrade Chairs, we should not over-politicize this issue. We shouldn't over-politicize it. We should choose the best person for that job. The person has to have the technical skills required. Because ultimately, this PBO doesn't have any decision-making power. It can merely advise and give options. The decision-making is made by the elected public representatives. Now, if there is a member of a party that's not here who feels strongly that they want to be included, I think we should leave it to the, let's say, the coordinating chairperson to discuss it, and we can do it over the phone. If we expand it, it's going to mean getting quorums. Well, you'll have to take it to 9, eh, Comrade Chair? It'll then be 5, 2, 1, and 1. That's another option. But I don't think we need to meet again. Why don't we mandate Chairperson Buthelezi to consult with the chairs? But ultimately, if there is a strong urge that since Parliamentary Budget Office represents all parties, not all, but no party, if we want to expand it, we could. Thank you. I don't know if I've covered the issues, and if the other chairs want to add.
Now, I'm fine with the proposal, Chairperson, but I also wanted to members, I can see from the body language that they want to say something, and I will advise that we talk about it in here and we take a decision or confirm as the joint committees. Thank you.
I'll say 1, 2. Okay, thank you. So, honourable members, I know some of the honourable members. I didn't call you by your name. My apologies.
Honourable, thank you very much, Chairperson. Now I'm encouraged by the last motivation expressed by the Chairperson that this is a subcommittee. It does not operate independent from all these committees. It will have to present a report to these committees. Members of all political parties will have sufficient time to ventilate on the recommendations of the subcommittee. But I also want us to agree that if there is genuine dissent on the composition of the committee, that we do not delegate it to anybody, that we engage with it here, and that we appropriately finalize on what should be the composition of the subcommittee.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yeah, I've been covered by that. Mostly, I would like to make the proposal that we accept it as it is. You can't have a subcommittee that becomes so big that you could have had the whole committee there anyway. So I would suggest that we carry on with this. As has been said, all the recommendations are going to come to this committee. Please, thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the clarity from the front and the chairpersonship. And I think it is the right place to ask these questions. We don't want to ask it 3-4 meetings later on and then come back and revisit it and think so. I'm satisfied with the explanation. I didn't make a proposal. I wanted just points of clarity in certain scenarios. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, I think this concludes the matter. Just so that we, again, just to summarize, we have agreed on the subcommittee of 7, which will be composed by 4 ANC members, 2 DA, and 1 EFF. My summation then takes it to 7. The first responsibility that they are having is to go and draft the advert with the assistance of HR and legal. And the main thing that we are saying here is that we are looking for the best of the best, for the fit and proper person to execute the function on behalf of the committees, on behalf of the of Parliament. So once they've done it, that advert must come to this joint committee so that we can look at the advert. They take us through, this is the type of a person we are looking for, and so on. And it's only then that they will allow them to go out and advertise in they always say in major newspapers, however you explain that they must go out and advertise. The main thing is to ensure that every South African can see that advert. So that's what they will do. And they will then shortlist have a shortlist of 20 people. And once they have got that shortlist, they will have to come back here and say, out of these 20 people, we think these are the 10 people that they are going to interview. And then they'll go out and interview those people. And then after interviewing those people, they'll come up with a list of 3 people. And we are saying, taking what Honorable Joseph was saying, is that if you just make sure that before you interview those 3 people, please make sure that they are vetted. But we'll discuss that as we come back again, who vets and so on, and what time are we giving people to go through that process. And it's only then that we'll then decide as honourable members, who do we recommend to Parliament? Yeah, who do we recommend to Parliament as a director of PBO? The only right I would add is that this position has been vacant for a long time, so let's make sure to be time efficient as we deal with it, without compromising important steps in the process. I think, honourable members, that summarizes our discussions today around this matter of now. I think within a week, next week, we must agree on the date and time where we must meet again to come and interact with the advert. Agreed. Next week, secretaries of the committees, we need to come back and deal with the advert. And by Friday, we need the names of the subcommittee members coming from the parties that we have spoken about being submitted to the secretaries, the names from the parties that were going to sit in that subcommittee. That summarizes our discussion. I don't think I've left out anything. Thank you. Babu Skosan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a clarity on this issue of shortlisting 20 and 10, because you're saying the subcommittee will shortlist 20, but then out of the 20, it must then come here and say we've shortlisted 20, but we think out of the 20 we've got these 10 that we think we should interview. Just to understand, why are we doing that? Why can't the subcommittee shortlist 10 and interview that 10? Why do we do have a 20 and a 10?
You may be having a point, but I think what you are also doing, which is not perfect science, by the way, you may want to be saying to the committees, you don't want to give them a fait accompli of 10 people. perhaps it's trying to stretch democracy. I don't know whether it's helping or impeding the process. But what's your counter proposal?
Yeah, Chair, my proposal is that let them shortlist 10 people. Because, I mean, the shortlisting is we are shortlisting for the purpose of an interview. So, but if you shortlist other people that we are not going to interview, I don't know how that's going to help us. And if you bring 20 names here and say, these are 20 names, we think that these 10 should be interviewed, but these other 10, we think we have shortlisted them, but we don't think we should interview them. Then this big committee must then discuss that. I think that's where the problem can arise. Because I might then come up with a proposal to say, no, let's remove number 9 from this side and take another number 17 from that 20 and put that. You see, so I think that might, complicate the process unnecessarily.
Yeah. I think Honorable Skosana is having a point. As I said, that from our side, we're trying to stress democracy, but it does become problematic. So can you allow them to shortlist 10 people and bring those 10 people here? And then I'll add one very important thing, that let's make sure that at least that list of 10 people is gender balanced, right? And for me, gender balance will mean that let it be 5-5, so that it gives the same probability of a person to be finally appointed as a director. Can we live with that?
With due respect, Chair, I understand that we want to come out of this meeting having understood each other. But at the same time, you know, that particular, you know, norm of democracy that you started with has to be adhered with. We may agree with Honorable Skosana. Perhaps he's trying to cut the corners, I guess. But at the same time, if we agree with him, there's more work now for the committee. I think I should, you know, from an HR perspective, due respect my disclaimer, you know, because if you bring in a short list of 10, you would then have to brief the committee of the pool. You pulled this 10 out of how many and why? Then it says to you, if there were 120 applicants, bring the whole list of the 120 applicants to the committee, and the committee would do the same that Honorable Skosana is saying we should avoid. Would have to go through the 120 and see why is this one not part of the 10. Goes back. But now if you say pull from the 120, the 20, and then you bring the 20 here, and then you come with your proposed shortlist of 10, then the committee is now, you know, circumvent, you know, within the 20 names. There wouldn't be that long list legally, but I'm not a legal practitioner. The clever people are behind me. They will assist you. But if you are talking stretching democracy and making sure that there are no loopholes, I think the first proposal was ideal.
Honourable members, I'll give two members just to interact with this, because let's close it. We shouldn't find ourselves hence spending more time on this. It's more it's very technical, to say the least. I'll end with you. Is there anybody who wants to say something before they check the chairs? Thank you, the honourable member.
Thank you very much, co-chairs. Chair, I think I don't think we must make it so difficult for the committee in specifying to be very much too specific. I think we must allow the process as to rather the committee to look into the 20 rather the 10, so that we don't have to be too much specific to something that will bind us.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm afraid I'm going to agree with Uchali. I think he has opened my eyes, because I was struggling to find a balance on what we are trying to do. And with your motivation, say that we want to do everything in line with the prescripts. We don't want to find ourselves in a problem. And the committee, we rather give committee more work than more power. If we say we'll be giving them more work, I'm fine with that. That's why we don't want this work to be done by the entire committees. And I want to buy the idea. And I think the little experience that I have is motivating to the initial proposal, Yagajal, that let the committee look into the whole list, look the best 10, and recommend to the entire committee. And as they recommend the best 10, obviously they will present the entire list, so that we can also satisfy ourselves, trying to check whether their best is our best. If we don't agree with that, because that will not be final, it will be a recommendation to this bigger committee. We'll be looking into the entire list to check if we are not leaving people who are more qualified, who are more experienced, who are more relevant, and tomorrow we find ourselves being challenged in court. So with due respect, Chairperson, I want us maybe to agree that let's give the committee to give us the best 10 of the whole list, but that will be a recommendation to the bigger committees and with the entire applicants. List of applicants.
Thank you, Honourable Yunus.
Firstly, I think, you know, we should be as open and transparent as possible. I think we all agree on that because of the nature of this PBO director's role. Secondly, I think every member of this committee is entitled to the full list of names. The point that Chairperson Maslangu says. And, you know, the subcommittee shouldn't be given the power to make decisions. It's for the four committees here to make them. Personally, I mean, I don't feel strongly. I think between what Chairperson Maslangu, myself, and some of you are saying, there's a convergence, if you like, with slight differences. I don't think we should preoccupy ourselves too much with settling the matter. That is why I'm saying there are some things that are better. If there's anything that the chairpersons do that you disagree with, the power doesn't reside with us. It resides with you. You can say, no, we don't agree. So I would say we don't know the number of people who are going to apply, firstly. Secondly, we don't know the number of people who will fall off just by the fact that they don't meet the minimum criteria for the job. Thirdly, I think Comrade Njadu is right. Let's not be over-prescriptive. Fourthly, I think Chairperson Maslang was right. We must be completely open and transparent. So why can't we give some latitude to, I would suggest, as the coordinating chairperson, Chairperson Buthelezi. That is part of a role. A chairperson facilitates. You get your mandate, but you can't reconvene four committees each time for every little comma or full stop in a document, right? So why can't we agree? There's a lot of consensus here. One is that the subcommittee actually looks at the applicants, the quality, the number. The subcommittee decides on whether they will bring a minimum of 10 names to us as their preferred list and a maximum of 20. Thirdly, we get every name given to the thing. And then we can decide whether we think, and there's nothing wrong with that, candidate 7 is not acceptable, but candidate 13 is acceptable. If we just leave it at 10, it means the ordering of the other, let's say, 90 people will be haphazard. Why don't we say they must order the first 20 and say these are the top 10 and these are number 11 to 20? Nothing stops us if we, a majority, decide that we're taking number 34 instead of number 7. So what I'm saying is that's like a compromise. Instead of being like prescriptive here and taking so much of time. The principles there's no disagreement on. In fact, there's a remarkable degree, not of consensus, but on agreement on the principles. On the actual practical application, I have personally the utmost faith in Chairperson Mashlangu, Chairperson Buthelezi, not only, and Chairperson Mashlangu, and our other chairperson. I'm just saying, though, that what's he going to do that we can't, as the other three chairs, roll into account for, or more importantly, you can't? So can't we agree the principles have been agreed to, 10 up to 20 listed, and then we decide, you know, who we want. But the decision about the three names must come from the committees. You can't give it to a subcommittee to do. I don't know if I'm making any sense, Chairperson. Maybe you can...
Honorable Nkolo.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Chair. I think the Honorable Chairperson from the other house is correct. There doesn't seem to be...
I'll sort it out. But I also have a problem with the chair here, right? You know what he does? He knows I'm keen on the job, right? So he says, yeah, in case you're nominating Eunice, don't nominate him now. That's out of order as well.
Okay, Chair. I think, Chair, we are, I think, over-discussing the matter, because there's a principle here, and the meeting has agreed on the principle. But one needs to just raise a point that says we just have to be careful as the different parties that towards the subcommittee we present people in leadership. What I mean is that, yes, the proposals will always come to the committee, but I know that whenever a structure is proposed, when the proposals are made, you take for granted that it will always come back to the committee, always come back to the committee. But remember, there will be decisions that those leaders will have to take on behalf of the committee. Yes, we know that we are taking the decision and that is what is going to happen. But we have to trust the subcommittee that we will nominate to do the job. And I just think that we were at the level of them crafting the advert, but we have even gotten a step further now to take to talk to other issues. But I think we need to really take it one step at a time, but bearing in mind that this is a package that we are giving to the subcommittee, and hence, as various committees, portfolio committees and select committees, we have to be mindful to give the subcommittee the best in terms of caliber of members that will serve in the committee. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable members, I think that takes us to agenda item number 5, which is to thank honourable members for the candid and open manner in which you have dealt with this matter. So the joint sitting of the committee's meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Just a second. The chairperson is being called to order here. Just a second. Okay. Sorry. There's briefing by secretariat on the draft consolidated medium-term budget policy statement program. Who's taking us through that?
Oh, yeah.
Members, the joint sitting is reconvened. So let's hear. It's a briefing on MTBS. We shouldn't take more than 15 minutes on this. There's no discussion. Or just this information. Right, so let's run over it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, co-chairpersons, and good morning, honourable members. My name is Lubabalo Nodata. I am the committee secretary of the Select Committee on Appropriations. On behalf of my colleagues, I have been nominated to present this consolidated program, which of course is going to affect all the four committees. So what we tried to do, Chairperson, is to divide the work of the committees and also try to make sure that we show the sequence of events that we are going to follow as from the 29th of October when the PBO presents the pre-budget, the pre-MTBS exercise. I'm not going to waste your time, Chairperson, and talk about the first page. Page one is applicable to us as administrators. Then on page two, Chairperson, we on that week of the 29th to 1st of November, the committees are going to be briefed by the PBO on Tuesday next week on pre-MTBS briefing, and then on Wednesday there will be a lock-up session. In that lock-up session, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriations has also invited the chairpersons of the portfolio committees, provincial portfolio committees. So they are going to be part of us on that day as her guests. Then on Thursday, the Minister of Finance, of course, after the caucus, will brief the four committees on the MTBS, which will cover the revised fiscal framework, adjustment appropriation bill, division of revenue amendment bill, and probably any other bill, finance bill that may be presented. But so far, we have indicated only these ones because we are sure that those are the bills that will be presented on that day. The following week, Chairpersons and Honourable Members, on Tuesday, the 5th, the PBO will brief again all four committees on now on the actual MTBS, 2019 MTBS documents and explaining and pointing issues that the committees must look out for. My colleagues are here, will explain themselves if members wish to understand how that process will go on. Then on Wednesday the 6th, the committees on finance, they will have their own joint meeting now. wherein they will be conducting the public hearings on the revised fiscal framework. The Standing Committee on Appropriations will have its own meeting briefed by the Public Service Commission. The Select Committee on Appropriations will also join them. Then on Friday, there will be responses. Normally, during the meeting of public hearings, there will be issues that will be raised, and then National Treasury is normally given an opportunity to go back and draft responses, and then come back now and present those responses to the committees on finance. That exercise will take place on Friday, the 8th, Chairperson. The following week, Chair, the committees on finance, standing and select committees, will consider their report on the revised fiscal framework. The Standing Committee on Appropriations will be briefed by Human Science Research Council on the MTDPS. Then the following day, on the 13th of November, the National Assembly will make a decision on the revised fiscal framework. At the same time, the NCOP will also be doing the same exercise, revised fiscal framework. So the first report now will be done by the two houses. Then, after that, the Division of Revenue will be referred to the Standing Committee on Finance, I mean Standing Committee on Appropriations. But generally, because we don't have enough time, we normally convene joint meetings. So even this time around, we propose that we must have joint meetings between the Standing Committee on Appropriations and the Select Committee on Appropriations to receive the briefing on the by the National Treasury on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Then on Friday, the 15th, the two committees will be briefed by SALGA on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill again, and also convene public hearings on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. That will be also a joint meeting. Then on Thursday, okay, I've also addressed this issue of Thursday on page 5. Then on page 6, now, the Standing Committee on Appropriations now on its own, the committee will be considering and adopting the report on the Division of Revenue. Now, as the Select Committee on Appropriations, we won't be joining that committee. We'll give them an opportunity to adopt their own report on their own. And then after the House has taken a decision, now the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill will be referred to the National Council of Provinces and indirectly to the Select Committee on Appropriations. And then we will take as from that point now, the members of the Select Committee on Appropriations will go back and brief provinces on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. That's Thursday, 21st. Now, I wish my committees to note this part, because this is where it is going to get tricky. Members will go brief their provinces on the 21st, but on Friday, the 22nd, members must be back here in Parliament to consider the negotiating mandates that they will be receiving from the provincial legislatures. Now, key issue here is the time. The starting time for our meeting here in Parliament and the time for the meetings that will be held on that side in provinces. It always becomes tricky in the sense that it is not easy for us as administrators to dictate, for example, to say our meeting must start, let's say, at 11 o'clock. Because, again, we know our members have got to make flight arrangements. Some members need connecting flights. And then it's much better when it's the members themselves who will say to us, on Friday the 22nd, the meeting of the Select Committee on Appropriations cannot start at 9 o'clock. It's better if we start at 11:30 or at 12, considering the fact that either Member X will decide to fly out of Cape Town on Saturday, or fly out of Cape Town on Friday, if then there is a need for a connecting flight, then that member, it will mean that it will be impossible for that member to fly out of Joburg if our meeting we convene our meeting very late, say later than 1 o'clock, because we are waiting for negotiating mandates from provinces. But again, if, say, for example, there are 5 negotiating mandates which have been submitted to the committee, we regard them as enough for the committee to take a decision. So in our report, in that part of negotiating mandates, we'll indicate that we received 5 negotiating mandates. 4 provinces, for example, were unable to present their mandates because of the time limits factors, and therefore they will submit final mandates, which now the committee will be considering on page 7 on Tuesday, the 26th of November. Again, even that meeting, it also becomes tricky. Some provinces, within their rules, they are allowed, their committees are allowed to adopt final mandates. But some provincial legislatures, final mandates must be processed by the House based on their roles. So it's also a question of balancing and considering those factors. Hence, then we are proposing that meeting should start at 12 o'clock to allow provincial legislatures, those that are supposed to sit and finalize negotiating mandates, the speakers sign the final mandates and then submit them to the committee. Then on Wednesday, the 27th of November, the National Council of Provinces will take a decision on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. It is then that now the Standing Committee on Appropriations can begin with the process of Adjustment Appropriation Bill. That the Standing Committee on Appropriations cannot process the Adjustment Appropriation Bill unless the Division of Revenue has been finalized by the NCOP. So that process will kick off on the 28th of November. Again, it will be a joint meeting with the Select Committee on Appropriations to process that. Even the public hearings on the 29th of November will be jointly together with the committees. On page 8, Chairpersons and Honourable Members, on the 3rd of December now, the Standing Committee on Appropriations will adopt its report on the Adjustment Appropriation Bill and 2019 MTBVS, and then the 2 reports will be in the House in the National Assembly on the 4th of December. Then a decision will be taken. Then now the National Council of Provinces, now I'm talking about the Select Committee on Appropriations, will adopt its own report on the Adjustment Appropriations and consideration of the report on the Adjustment Appropriations Proposed Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, and then the report will go to the House on Friday, the 6th of November. So that will be the end of the process, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Babani. Honourable members, there's a very tight program here, right? So that's what one was alluding to, that after the MTVVS, the members of these committees just don't have a breathing space. It's very tight. So it's important. But I'll then request, especially for the honourable members from the other house, because there's so much. Okay, especially for the other members from the NCOP, because there's a lot of coordination with the provinces which must take place, and I think you should take care of that now and don't wait for the MTBVS so that you are able to coordinate the times and everything. Babal, I'll request you with the other secretaries to please stay closer to that process, because we don't just have time. We need to stick by the program which has just been read to us. All members, in case there's anything that we didn't get, that the dates and days are here in front of us, still interact with this thing in your various committees to ensure that you are being taken care of. Thank you so much, Babad and your team. I think now we can then agree that we are adjourning the joint sitting. Thank you so much.
Honorable members, I'm sorry, honorable members, Select Committee on Appropriation, we have sent you the report on the special bill. We request that you comment on the report. We'll adopt it tomorrow so that we can include your comments and amendments. Thank you.